Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Order Militaris Radio, coming to you at 8:30 a.m. Central Time on a Thursday morning. Today we're going to continue our show where we got cut off very rudely by Blog Talk Radio. Restoring the Christian West through proper education. Now, since most of you may have not heard the words of St. John Fisher about Our Blessed Mother as the new dawn, I am going to reread that to you because I just love that section. So here we go. Secondly, Holy Scripture teaches that in the beginning of the world, when heaven and earth were to be created, all things were covered with darkness for a long season, and that before the sun in its clearness could give light to the world, a certain light was made that was a mean between the darkness and the very clear light of the sun. This is well shown by Moses in the beginning of Genesis. Thirdly, reason, which searches out many causes, finds that when a thing is changed into its contrary, as from cold to heat, it is done first by certain means coming between the two extremes, or by alternations in between both. Water, by its nature, is very cold. It is not suddenly made hot to the uttermost by fire, but first becomes a little warm, or as we might say, lukewarm, which is neither very hot nor very cold, but in a mean between both. Also, an apple, which at first is green, does not grow yellow suddenly. But first it turns somewhat white, a neutral shade between green and yellow. Thus we perceive by our reason that it was not fitting that the great clearness of the sun, our Savior, should be shown so soon and immediately after the fearful darkness, before the fearful dark night of sin. Without there being a first arising of the dawn, as a mean between the two. Since a just right order requires that it should be so, then since it is also fitting for a wise man to order it so, little doubt that the inexpressible wisdom of our Lord God kept this due and reasonable order, particularly in his work by which salutum operatus est in medio terre. He brought healing into the midst of the earth. Psalm 73, verse 12. For he also kept the same order in all his works, as St. Paul witnesses, saying, Quaecum quae ordinata sunt, ad Deo sunt. All things are well ordered, and by the ordinance of Almighty God. Letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verse 1. Now, to express this matter more clearly, we will try to show that by the three reasons we mentioned, nature, scripture, and reason, this blessed Lady, Mother of our Savior, they will be called a dawn. Before her, there was none without sin. After her, the most clear sun, Christ Jesus, showed his light to the world, expelling utterly by his innumerable beams the darkness in which all the world was wrapped and covered up to that time. We see by experience that the dawn rises out of darkness, as the wise man says, Deus qui dixit illusum de tenebras splendisseri. Almighty God commands light to shine out of darkness. The second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6. The clerk Orpheus marveled at it greatly saying, O nox, qui illusum emittis, O dark night, I marvel greatly that you bring forth light. It is truly a marvel to man's reason that light should spring out of darkness. So in like manner, we may marvel at this blessed virgin's being clean, without a spot of any sort of sin in shining, even though she came forth originally from sinners who were covered and wrapped in the darkness in the night of sin. Also, after the dawn, the sun rises as if it were bright, as if it were brought forth, and had its beginning from the dawn. Likewise, our Savior Christ Jesus was born and brought forth from this blessed Virgin, spread his light over all the world. We also perceive that when the sun rises from the dawn, he makes the morning grow clear by the effusion of his light. So Christ Jesus, born of this virgin, did not defile her with any spot of sin, but rather endowed and filled her with much more light and grace than she had before. Lastly, although it seems as if the dawn were the cause of the sun, and it is the sun that is undoubtedly the cause of the dawn. And likewise, although the Blessed Virgin brought forth our Savior Jesus, yet he made her and was the cause of her being brought forth into this world. Thus he can perceive by nature that the Blessed Virgin may well be compared to a dawn. Excuse me, I have a little stuffiness in my nose here. The same will be shown if we explain the order of Scripture. It is spoken in Genesis that first Almighty God made heaven and earth. The earth was a void and desolate, and all was covered with darkness, and the Spirit of God was born aloft. Then Almighty God commanded the first day, by his word only, that light should be made. Immediately light was made. And after that, on the fourth day, the sun was created. This we read in the beginning of Genesis. Let us now show what it signifies for our purpose. First, heaven and earth may signify to us man and woman. For the woman is subject to the man as the earth is to heaven. Woman is barren and lacking fruit without the help of man. Just as the earth is barren and void of all fruit without the influx of heaven. Similarly, every generation of mankind since the creation of Adam was wrapped and covered with the darkness of sin. And although the Spirit of God was ever aloft, ready to give grace, yet for all that none was found able to receive it until the time this blessed Virgin was ordained by the whole Trinity to spring and to be brought forth into the world. By the providence of Almighty God, she was safely kept and defended from every spot and blemish of sin, so that we may well say to her, tota ultra es amica mia, et macula non est in te. O blessed Lady, you are all fair and without spot or blemish of sin. The Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 7. The angel of her annunciation said, Ave plena gratia. Hail, full of grace. Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 28. This blessed virgin, full of the beams of grace, was ordained by God as the light of the dawn, and she afterward brought forth the bright shining sun with his manifold beams, our Savior Christ. Qui illuminat hominum hominum lineum tim in hunc mundum. Who gives light to every creature coming into this world. Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verse 9. Take heed how conveniently it agrees with Holy Scripture for this virgin to be called a dawn. Also, since reason will have it that between two contraries there must be an appropriate mean, so it is marvelously proper that we should call the this virgin a dawn. For just as the dawn is the mean between the given clearness of the sun and the horrid darkness of the night, so this blessed and holy virgin is the means between this bright sun of our Savior and wicked sinners, and a partaker of both, for she is the mother of God and also the mother of sinners. When our Savior Christ hung upon the cross, he commended St. John the Evangelist to this blessed virgin and left him as her son, saying to her, Mulier, ecce filius tuus. Woman, behold your son. And to St. John he said, Ecce mater tua. Behold your mother. Gospel of St. John, chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. The name John, by interpretation, means the grace of God, signifying that by God's grace, not by their own merits, sinners are made inheritors of the heavenly kingdom. Sinners are therefore commended to the Virgin Mary as to a mother. She is a mother of sinners. St. Augustine says that there seems to be a noble kindred between this blessed virgin and sinners, for she received all her goodness for the sake of sinners. Sin was the cause for which she was made the mother of God. Also, if we have taken any goodness, we have it all by her. Therefore, it is very right that this Holy Virgin Mary is the mother of sinners. All Christ's Church calls her Mater Misericordium, the mother of rich sinners. She is also the mother of mercy, for Christ is mercy itself. Speaking of him, the prophet says thus, Deus meus, misericordiae mea, my God, my mercy. Psalm 58, verse 11. Christ is mercy itself. She is the mother of Christ, therefore the mother of mercy. For this reason, as we said before, she must necessarily be a mean between the mercy of God and the wretchedness of sin. Between Christ's most innocent and wretched sinners, between the shining light and the black darkness. For she is also the means between the bright sun of day and dark cloud of night. None was born before her without sin, whether mortal, venial, were original. Many before her were men of great virtue and holiness, as were Jeremiah, Elijah, and great, and others. But because they were not clean and without any spot of sin, their virtue and holiness were hidden, as if under a cloud. The holy angels, remembering this matter and seeing the virgin's light show forth without any spot of darkness after such a long, dark night of sin, said one to another in admiration or marveling, "Qui es esta qui progeditur quasi aurora insurgens? What is she who goes forth as the rising dawn?" It's beautiful. It leads me to the next point of this show. The great dawn, or the second dawn, or the second springtime, as Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman would write in his final sermon to the Oxford students, as being their chaplain before he converted to the Catholic faith. It's a super long sermon, but well worth your time to read it. And Google or type in Newman Reader and type in the second springtime. It should bring you to that sermon. The second springtime is a prophecy of when England and the entire United Kingdom, as it is now called, returns back to Mary as her dowry, which means it returns back to Christ as his island, as his nation once again. What does this have to do with proper education or restoring proper education? Well, the Catholic Church created universities. And all universities, even public schools today, even some homeschools and private schools, of all grades, of all levels, have lost their identity. They have become political tools, political institutions, where they churn out political soldiers of the left. What do you mean, liberals? No. They're not actual liberals. But more like Marxist, socialist, communist. If you happen to go to one of these schools and are from a good family, good upbringing, tough as nails, Catholic, you'll find yourself constantly, always being attacked. So these schools turn out the current leaders we have that are coming up the pipeline in America, Europe, Canada, South America, wherever, in the Christian world. If they continue their way of being lost, this false identity they have, they will not have actual true Christian leaders. We will not have proper and good citizens we'll have the opposite. We'll have unlawful citizens. We'll have corrupt, unlawful politicians, even worse than the ones we have right now. It all starts summer, folks. If you're a Catholic, a true Catholic, education begins in the home. Your mom and your dad are the ones to begin educating you. There's not just to send them off to some parochial school of the parish and let them deal with it. No. You, yourself, and your husband are the primary educators. That means changing your schedule, changing your work schedule, making sure you have time to be with your kids, educating them in the faith, educating them how to be a good person, how to be respectable, how to be honorable. Teach them right from wrong, the virtues to defeat the vices. Teach them how to read, teach them how to pray, teach them how to write. Teach them about the sacraments, teach them about devotionals, teach them about sacramentals. Everything and anything of the Catholic faith should start at home. That is where education begins, folks. It doesn't begin at some preschool or daycare center or whatever. Just drop your kids off and go to work. No, it begins at the home. That's why the Baltimore Catechism is so good. And so is the Catechism of Pope St. Pius X. It breaks down the faith for you. Easy to read, easy to understand, but it also has teeth in there to bite you. Like, this is the true faith. You gotta be careful now. So some of these Catholic bookstores, you think they're selling good quality Catholic books, you just got to take your time to study what your Catholic books are. Maybe a little more pricey. Sometimes you can get them cheaper online than you can in the stores. That's why you take your time to study what books are good and what books are bad and where to get them. Who sells them at a better price? I mean, it takes a little bit of work to learn your faith, folks. Set a little aside each month and get a good Catholic book to study. Maybe not the... Well, actually, this one was pretty good. Summa Theologica by St. Thomas Aquinas. It's small sections each area. The sections are so small, they would fit on Twitter. The best way to, the best age to learn a language is when they are still pretty young. So to teach them Latin, the language of the church, it'd be awesome. And you move up into grade school for parish level. Now, I grant you, we don't have many St. John Vianneys anymore who are excellent priests, holy priests, who also teach the faith. The devil even said, if there were more John Vianneys, I'd be out of business. You hear that, priests out there? If there were more St. John Vianneys, the devil would be out of business. Meaning he'd be out of work. He wouldn't even try to steal souls away if there were more St. John Vianneys. More St. Padre Pio's. Are there more of this, those two priests, Padre Pio and St. John Vianney? They're all dioceses around the world and in every religious house, monastery, convent, whatever. There would not be an identity crisis in Christian education. Same education that St. John Vianney taught can and must be taught today to the kids growing from grade school on upward. Then once they're old enough to begin the hard stuff, you know, mathematics, proper literature, and so forth. Always been a fan of scholastic teachers. Blessed John Duns Scotus, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Albertus Magnus. St. Bonaventure. I found it easier to learn from their books than what I learned in school, except in the history class. An English literature class. All the other subjects I found super hard, including science. But when I started to read stuff of St. Albertus Magnus, his science work, I was like, how come this is easier than what they teach in today's science class? What's the difference? So yeah, go back to the actual science studies of the Catholic teachers. It may be easier for your kids to learn science, to learn proper mathematics from the actual sources than it is today in these horrible textbooks. Now, I grant you some stuff is still being translated to this very day from these great teachers. So, you'll have to look and search and find these teachers in the faith. But if we could restore proper education throughout the Christian world, in the Christian West, in Ireland, Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, England, France, all of those countries, plus North America, South America, we wouldn't have problems we're having in Venezuela, with communism running amok and destroying the country there, we wouldn't have the problems with the communist Democrats in America and Mexico. We wouldn't have the problems with Canada, anywhere. Why would that be? Because every person would be getting proper faith formation in the Catholic faith. Plus, learning science, literature, math, history, and the actual sources taught by the actual Catholic professors of old. You're learning through them, you learned from the actual ancient manuscripts that have now got watered down in the current textbooks. So you're basically going back to the sources and learning from the masters. Learning more and easier than it is with the current books we have today. If we learned from the masters, who gave us mathematics, who gave us literature, law, everything, from the Catholic point of view, all these crazy people in the government, business, elsewhere, would not exist because they would be properly formed, properly taught, properly Catholic. Excuse me. This is why in some European countries they are making homeschooling illegal. Even in some states here in America, it's becoming that way as well. They are afraid of the children, even the parents, learning the truths of mathematics, reading, science, history, politics, reason, ethics, everything. This is why when Obama was as president, he's trying to force onto the homeschooling kids, most of all the Catholic ones, his Common Core crud. Trying to get them away from the actual sources of St. Thomas Aquinas, Bonaventure, Albert Magnus, and all those greats who rely on the masters who gave us history, mathematics, and science. Because if they learn the truth about these things, they start spreading it around. That wouldn't look so good on these courses now. I want my kids to learn that stuff, not the indoctrination stuff that they're pushing on them in the school years. It's called government-run school for a reason because, well, the public school get money from the government to push their indoctrination stuff on the kids and hopefully on to the parents. So if they weren't going to these indoctrination camps, well, that would be a very bad thing for the government. That's why they're trying to make it illegal to learn at home. I haven't heard much about that stuff in America, but a few times I see it pop up on the Twitter feed from my European news sources I follow. But yes, education is Catholic. If we restored education how it should be, the way it should be, from the actual sources, get rid of this indoctrination camp stuff, and put back St. Thomas Aquinas, Blessed John Duns Scotus, St. Bonaventure, St. Albertus Magnus, all of them, we would be better off as a society. We would be Catholic once again. And what would begin the end of this madness Europe and the Christian West is falling into. That's the show for today, folks. Glad I could get it to you. Hope you like it. Share it. Listen to it. If you use Google App Stores, go look for Blog Talk Radio. Download it. The app. Put on our radio station. You can listen to all of our programs that have been played live. You can share the Encore programs wherever you're going. And if you catch us live, you can listen in. And I'm sure the number to call in would pop up. So, yeah, take us wherever you go, folks. Take the Catholic faith and the truth of it wherever you go. Also, I want to push the Lepanto flag once again. Brother Z got his flag. It looks amazing where how Father Z has displayed it. Thank you to him. And if you follow Father Z on Twitter, he might be sharing some photos of what he's got. If you follow it on his blog, that's awesome. But if you want to get the flag, remember, send us your name and address so we can ship it to you. Go to ordo-milliaris.us. On the homepage there, you'll see on the right-hand corner the image of the Lepanto flag. Click that thing, takes you right to the flag page. Or you can order it. And once again, it's ordo-milliaris.us. Click the upper right-hand corner image of the Lepanto flag there. You'll go right to the flag page. Order it. Remember your name, first and last name, and mailing address when you order the flag. If you want the tapestry version, which is will last for even longer, it said a few hundred years, so it would last after you're gone and buried and in the grave and being remembered by your loved ones, contact the office, call them, write them, say we want the tapestry instead of the normal flag for the flagpole. And we'll have that thing special made for you. It will be a little more pricey because of how it's made. But it is well worth it if you can afford it. If you want the tapestry version, contact the office, call them, write them, and say, we want the tapestry version rather than the normal flag one. And we'll have the maker make that tapestry for you. Oh, that is it, folks. Day is full.